Alright, so this evening I would like to share some thoughts that Father has been really impacting me with in this last week. It's called True Meditation is of the Heart. And for years I was in the church, and for years I heard, oh, the importance of meditation. You need to meditate the Word. You need to meditate. And we've got the Eastern religions that talk about meditation. So there's all sorts of ways that you maybe have heard things about meditation. But tonight I really want to focus on the importance of meditating with your heart. This is found in one of the verses that we can really look at to recognize there's some differences is in Psalm 19, verse 15. And David is quoted at the end of this psalm here. If I can get to it in my pages. It says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So I want you to recognize that words are one thing. That's one form of communication, which I'm using right now to communicate with each of you. But there's another one that's the meditation of our heart. And the meditation of our heart is what I would like to focus on tonight because it's the place where we're really going to have it impact our inner life. One of the things that we've heard, and maybe you've heard or maybe you haven't heard, but David was known as a man after God's own heart. Now, David was a strong man. He was a warrior. He was a king. But he was also a poet. He was also a shepherd. He had a very, I believe, heart-to-heart relationship with his Heavenly Father. And that's why I want you to recognize is that there is a difference between just having the opportunity to receive Jesus in our head, and another with experiencing Him with our heart. Experiencing God and His Word with our heart makes a huge difference. We can have all sorts of head knowledge. We can have all sorts of information that we have gotten from being in church. We can quote scripture verses. I am a person who memorized countless scripture verses for years. And yet I recognize they were still not, it was like I would say the word and it was like bouncing off of a wall. And I'm thinking, I know what this says. I know it's supposed to be impacting me. I know this is truth. And yet it's still not touching me. So what's wrong with this? This is not working, is what we would say. Because our Western society has gotten so prone to head knowledge, our Western thinking is all about definitions and concepts that we have no understanding of what it means to experience Father in our heart. This is a heart thing. This is a real reality. And yet it comes from the heart. And I'm just going to say it's our left brain definition-oriented society, and even our church, is very left brain oriented. That Western mindset is very left brain oriented. And the Eastern thinking, the Hebrew way of thinking, is very right brain. And it is all about images. That's the language of our heart. The language of our heart is images. And until we recognize how important that is, we are going to miss experiencing who our Father really is. Because I just want you to know, these are a couple of quotes. Albert Einstein said, the imagination is more important than knowledge. Now here's a man who came up with all sorts of intellectual understanding, but he first saw it on the inside in his heart, and then he processed it and got it to the outside. Oswald Chambers, who was a man of God, he said, the imagination is our most God-given ability. Now I'm using the word imagination rather than heart, because you could put them together. Because it says it's Genesis 6:5 or 5:6? 6:5? Okay. This is the first place where the heart is the word heart is used. If I can get to that. And Genesis 6:5 tells us that the Lord God was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Oh, I know, in verse 5 it says, then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So, all I'm telling you is, we have gotten warped ideas because of this outward world, because of the fall of Adam and Eve. And I'm just going to throw this in, because God had me going over it before you came. I wasn't planning on sharing it. But it says in Genesis, okay, that God told Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because the day they ate of it, they would surely die. Mm-hmm. Right? What was going to die? They lived physically for 900 some years. Okay? But in the next chapter, in a couple chapters later, when they had eaten the fruit that the serpent got them to eat, what did he end up saying? If you eat this fruit. Oh, no, he says, for God knows. Oh, the woman said, you will, and the woman said, we aren't supposed to eat of it or even touch it or we'll die. And the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. What eyes were opened and what eyes closed? The eyes of our heart. The eyes of our heart were open to God at the beginning. When they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, those spiritual eyes of getting to know their Heavenly Father were closed. And the eyes of their intellect, the eyes of their left brain, knowing good and evil, we can decide what's good, we can decide what's evil. We don't need God. We don't need God to teach us. We'll just do it ourselves. Because that tree of the knowledge of good and evil was Adam and Eve's opportunity to say, I don't need God. I can do it myself. And I'll do it my way. And I'll decide what's supposed to happen here.
Yeah.
All right? So when we want to know the truth of the heart, the truth of the heart is only going to come as we engage what Father has placed on the inside. I'm not looking with physical eyes at this moment and telling you that you're going to get the images you're supposed to have in your heart by looking at this outward world. What's going to make the difference is when you allow yourself to stop looking with the outside at what you think is you should do or not do, and you start looking in your heart. You start looking with your heart, and, you know, as I said, Oswald Chambers and Albert Einstein both were mightily used by the Lord, okay, in many powerful ways to bless our world, and yet they knew that the biggest key was their inside of their heart. It wasn't what they knew intellectually in their left brain of good and evil. They were free to live from that, but they chose to go deeper. They chose to look to the inside. And I would imagine most of you sitting here could say, you've heard the phrase, a picture's worth a thousand words. Well, I had the Lord show me one day, you know, as I was speaking the word and trying to get that word to work in my life, it was still bouncing off of me because I still had the same image on the inside of myself. I'm just trying to use my left brain intellect to get me to see things, to say that things are different. So just speaking the right words or just saying them over and over isn't going to change my heart. It's got to be getting a new image on the inside. It's got to be being able to see with the eyes of my heart. The language of the heart is images and pictures. True meditation is when our heart is turned back to our Heavenly Father, with our spirit being engaged, saying, Daddy, teach me. Daddy, I want to experience life the way you planned it. Rather than what the world, rather than what anybody out here is telling me, going back to our spirit, going back to our heart, and recognizing there's one that's greater that knows what we're supposed to really walk in. It's all about being in relationship. It's all about being in that experiential realm with our Heavenly Father. It's not an intellectual exercise. We can do, for years, I was so rigid in my devotion time, and I needed to pray so long, and I needed to read the Word so much, and I needed to fast, or I needed to do this and that and the other thing, because I was all into performance. And yet, it wasn't impacting the fullness of my heart. I experienced Him some, but now that I've come to know that He's my true Father, and I'm His daughter, let me tell you, that changes everything, because I want Him to show me how to walk, how to talk, and how to live. In Psalm 49, I'm not going to turn to it right now, but it says, "My mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall give understanding." Many people can give definitions of things and have concepts, but the understanding and the meaning of something only comes by getting the images that He shows us in our heart. And then we can meditate on those things. That's when you've got true understanding. How many of you have heard people say, "Oh, I see that. Oh, it just dawned on me. Oh, I get it." You didn't see anything different on the outside, but something clicked on the inside, and you saw it on the inside in a way you'd never seen it before. And once you've got that, that's something you can hang on to, and it doesn't matter what anybody else has experienced or what anybody else tells you. When you've seen it, when you've experienced it, you know it's yours. And it doesn't matter what anybody else says or does. You know, in Ephesians 1, 17 and 18, this is what Paul prayed for the church. And it's something that I have prayed pretty consistently over the years. But in the last recent weeks now, it's gotten bigger on the inside of me because I recognize this is a very important thing to pray. And it's something you can pray for yourself. It's something you can pray for other people. Something you can pray for your family. But in Paul's prayer to the church in Ephesians 1, verse 17 and 18, it says, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him." Not head knowledge, but revelation, something you've experienced. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened." It's like the light being turned on.
Yes.
Okay? It says, in the Message Bible, it says, I ask the God of our Master, Jesus Christ, and the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing Him personally, your eyes focused and clear, so that you can see exactly what it is He's calling you to do, grasping the immensity of this glorious way of life, for He has for His followers." Okay, He wants us to get it. He's not trying to hold out on us, but He's not going to impact our hearts just by the outside. This physical flesh and bone body gives me the right to be in this earth, but it's not the true life that He will be eternally with Him. When it says in Genesis that God breathed into Adam, it says He breathed in the lives into Adam. There's the outer life, and there's the inner life. And we need to recognize that what I'm talking about tonight is not so much about what we do out here, but it's about what's going on in here, on our inner life. What is the images that we're focused on? What are the images that are coming up in our hearts? If they are going to come, He wants them to be something that's from Him. He says, I'm just going to give you some scripture references. I'm not going to read them all right now. But Psalm 4:4 talks about meditate within your heart and be still. Psalm 77:6 says, meditate within your heart. Psalm 119:27 says, I meditate on your wonderful works. I started thinking about that. If we can remember all the good things Father's done for us in the past, and we begin to call up those images, call up those experiences, that gives us more that we can have as positives to reinforce what's going on in what He wants us to have going on in our heart. Psalm 143:5 says, remember. That's the key. Sometimes we don't take time to remember. what he's done in the past. Remember and meditate on your works. And the and then in Psalm 145:5 it says, and meditate on his glorious splendor of his majesty. If we were to meditate on who God is and all that he's done for us in our lives, that should probably put us in a place of praise and thanksgiving. Because we're going to have positive images in front of our eyes. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that there aren't negative images that are presenting themselves to us all the time. Satan is a defeated enemy, but he is an enemy still that's in this world. And he is out to steal, kill, and destroy. And so he's going to try everything he can to steal your peace and get you out of rest. Because that's the place where you're really going to hear and be able to meditate. He desires that our eyes be on him, not just our outward eyes, but our inner eyes, not on ourselves, not on our flaws, what we've done wrong, not on what we have to do. Because for years, I used to be able to see every little spot and blemish that was in Sue McCoy and everything she had done wrong. And that didn't help me be at peace and rest. It only made me more upset. But if I can turn my eyes to him, that's when I'm going to get to a place of peace and rest. Real words, real meditation takes place when the words become actions. They're not just intellectual definitions, but they are something that makes sense. The Hebrew language, which I wanted to share more tonight, and the Lord says, no, not tonight, another night. Hebrew language is all about, it's a verbal language. It was passed on, tradition was an oral tradition from father to son. So they were sharing stories and making them come alive, is what I began to see. As well as it's a picture language. Every letter of the Hebrew alphabet is a picture. If you put those letters together in a word, it tells a whole storyline. In the beginning, I could go into it, but the pictures of in the beginning talk about a father in a house, and with a family. I mean, there is so much in the Hebrew that we have lost because we don't know a Hebrew. But it's meant to be that the letters represent something more than just an intellectual thing. And on top of that, all of the Hebrew root words, they're all verbs. They're all action words. And everything else comes from that. So we're talking about a language that's very right brain oriented, that is all about images, and it's all about understanding things with our heart. The Bible shares, it's basically a book of stories of actions of God and actions of men, and all of the different storylines of what has or has not happened in different people's lives. So think about it. When Jesus came, what did he use to help the people grab a hold of what he was talking about?
Parables.
Parables. He used stories and talked about images of things that they were familiar with. They were an agricultural farmer, you know, kind of society. So he used sower and seed. He used tares and wheat. The people got that. They could visualize it. They could see it. The soil. They understood what he was talking about. It was very real because he knew that they could grab a hold of the images because of what he was sharing. They were going to paint pictures on the people's hearts. They were not going to just tickle their little intellects. Okay? And he was helping them to see how to live and how to live their lives, how to be with others. Father wants us to see and experience him and allow the words of the Bible to be something that's active. He's the creator, the image maker, who wants to reveal himself and personalize the images his word gives us. So when you come up with a word that you aren't sure exactly that you have an understanding of, or that hasn't become real to you, what about asking Father, would you let me see the images this word is designed to create? Would you talk to me about what this is supposed to look like? Our hearts are all about our inner life, as I was talking about. And what we spend time thinking about and the images that we focus on in our heart are going to impact then our outer life. So you have an image maker that is constantly putting images in front of you. And that's where your thoughts are going to, and ultimately the image is there and the thought comes. And the image is there and the thought comes. And so catching, when you start to go possibly the wrong direction, you can pull it back and go back to a positive image. And Father is meant to be that source. And I'm just convinced that the more time we spend with Father, fellowshipping with Him, the easier it is to keep the right images on our image maker. There's two words in Hebrew for meditation. And the one, I'm not really good at Hebrew, but it is Siya and Haga. It's S-I-Y-A-H and H-A-G-A-H. And they both mean to repeat words, but the one is more about beauty and growth, and the other is more about purification. All right? And so what I am aware of is that as we begin to want to take some time to meditate on it and get an image to get bigger and brighter in our hearts. Because what happens when you expose, when you take a picture with a camera, what are you doing? You're clicking the shutter of that camera. It leaves light in, and it registers and puts a digital picture now. It's the way we have it. It used to be film. Now it's digital. Okay?
Long time ago.
Yes. But it's an image. All right? Now, if you let more light in, you can have it possibly be brighter. I mean, you can choose to do a manual setting on things. And I'm just going to tell you, sometimes you can, what they would say, you can overexpose something or get it too bright. But with God, He just wants to bring more light and more light onto our image makers, I'm convinced, to get rid of all the darkness that used to be there. He wants to get rid of the darkness so that we experience more and more of the truth of who He is. And so I was listening to someone share, it's fine just to pray to yourself and say, Father, will you help me with this? Will you show me what you want me to see? You can think that, but there's a greater power that's registered when you speak it out. Why is that? Because you've got a voice box, and it's vibrating, and it's going down, and it's literally impacting your heart. It's impacting, and I'm not pointing to my physical heart as much as my heart is probably here. And I'm not going to go into all of what the heart fully is tonight. That'll be for another night, too. But the idea that our heart is going to be impacted if we actually verbally speak something out. That's the reason when Rick and I meet with people for prayer, we realize that's why we have them speak it out, because it's impacting their whole being and not just the spirit realm. Father planned to be the one revealing His truth to us, not us trying to figure it out ourselves. Father planned to engrave His word on our hearts, and that would be bringing images to us that become clearer and clearer. The further I walk with God, the more I am allowing Him to paint pictures on my heart. I'm allowing Him to take and show me who He is and who I am because I'm His daughter. And when we're in that place of peace and rest, and we're still, I'm convinced it's the easiest time for Him to paint. If I'm moving around, it might be a little difficult for me to feel that He can paint anything on my heart. I need to be still. Yeah, I was going to read, I don't think I'm supposed to read that verse, but I'm going to read Proverbs 4, verse 23. Proverbs 4, 23 is one verse I don't want you to forget as a result tonight. I want you to recognize this is something to take seriously. This is an important verse. And it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Keeping our heart means to protect it. It means to guard it. It means don't let something else be bigger than your heart. I'm going to say that that means that our heart is meant to be like the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, they were told to keep the garden. They were told to basically protect it from outside influences. And that garden was meant to be so enclosed that nothing else could get in. And that's what He wants each of us to do with our heart, so that we get only the images that He has, that He desires, that is meant to be life-giving and not something that would hinder Him from being able to fully experience everything that Father has for us. Okay? It says in Proverbs 23:7, that's the other verse that really is powerful. And Proverbs 23:7 says, for as, okay, in different versions, in the King James Version, I think it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. In the New King James, it says, for as he thinks in his heart, so it is he. So whatever we believe about ourselves, those are the images we have in our heart. And if they don't line up with what Father says about us, guess what? We need to ask him to take and wash us clean, to remove the images that don't belong, to heal any place in our heart that got the wrong images, and to bring the new images that he wants us to focus on forever. Because when our hearts are healed, guess what? We're going to be filled with joy. We're going to be filled with peace. We're going to be filled with rest. There's going to be good things that happen because we can see as our Father says. Not only does Father want us to see him more clearly, but he wants us to see who he made us to be, our true identity, so that what's on the inside, each one of you is sitting here tonight. I know each one of you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So on the inside, in your spirit, you're just perfect. You're just right. But oftentimes, the things on the outside haven't caught up with what's on the inside. We may still have habit patterns. We may still have triggers. We may still have things that are not perfected yet. But guess what? You're perfect on the inside. He just wants to get to the place where you see yourself the way he sees you, so it can become the thing that reflects all the way to the outside. Which leads me to my last verse to share. Well, I guess my next to last verse. It's in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. Okay, he said verse 17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Do you realize the Spirit? What is the Spirit? It's the Spirit that's in us. And God is a Spirit. And God is love. So it's the Spirit. The Spirit is love. Love is in us. Okay, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, where love is, there's liberty. Where you know that you're loved, where you know that you are valuable in his eyes, it will bring you to a new place of freedom. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God, of the Lord. I'm just going to tell you, if you will begin to keep your eyes looking at Jesus, he is the reflection of heaven, our Heavenly Father. And if we can see Jesus and we get the image of who he is and recognize we are in Christ, we too are a son, just like Christ is the son of his Father, then guess what? Okay. We're all safe.
Exclamation.
Exclamation, yes. We are definitely his. So at that point in time, what are we going to see? Are we going to see all those things that are on the outside? Are we going to see the glory shining in from the outside, from the inside out? You see, it's like he said, don't hide your light under a bushel. Let it shine. We have to first realize that it's shining. And that means we have to turn and look at him and stop looking at ourselves. We have to see his image. And we will have, as it says in, I know it's in 1 Corinthians 15, I'm not sure whether I can find the actual verse. It talks about we will, you know, Jesus had the image of the earthly, and then we will take on. Okay, here it is. It says, the first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is of the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as it is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. You are made to look like Jesus. You are made to look like your Father. Now, you may have a different personality, and you're going to look a little different. And you may do things differently than somebody else. Thank God, you're one of a kind. You're an original. You're perfect. In God's eyes, he made you with a divine destiny. But you're going to have a heavenly image. And he wants you to begin to see yourself with that heavenly image that's already on the inside. He doesn't want you to look at the outside and all the things that aren't perfect yet. He wants you to see the inside. He wants you to see the. He wants you to see yourself the way He sees you. He doesn't want you to get focused on anything except how He sees you. And the more we focus and keep our image maker focused on Father and all His goodness, then the bad images won't have any access and they'll begin to lose their power. Philippians 4:8 talks about what we're to meditate on. We are to meditate on things that are good and pure and perfect and lovely and of good report. Okay? And it talks about that we are to be a light. We are to have the light shining from us. We are lights. We are to be light in the Lord. We are made to live in the light and not darkness. And to let the one who is light that is on the inside of us shine in our heart until we see all the positive things He has planned for us. He doesn't want you focused on yourself. He doesn't want you focused on the outside. He wants you focused on the light that He's already put on the inside of you and that He has planned and destined for you to shine brightly and reflect the image that He's putting on your image maker. You see, any time that you start to have a negative image come, you can go back to a time when you experienced a positive image and you can allow that. You can say, nope, you may not know what you're afraid of, what's caused you to lose your peace, but you can go back to that image. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, you can get quiet and you can say, nope, I'm going to see this again. And I just heard a testimony this afternoon of a person who had panic attacks that lasted for 6 to 8 hours.
Wow.
She was incapacitated. And she couldn't handle life. And she got the concept of understanding the power of the images in her heart, of meditate on the positive images. And she, when she started it off, she went and she would stop the negative image. She would go and turn herself and see the positive image in her heart and see the smile, see whatever she said. I mean, the man didn't share what it was. And it went, the first time she did it, she got down to 6 hours that it lasted. Then it went to 3 hours. And then it went to 1 hour. Then it went to a half an hour. Then it went to a few minutes.
Wow.
And now she's down to the fact she has not had any panic attacks for 4 months.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's the power of meditation in your heart. I'm trying to get you to recognize, this is important. Father just said, you've got to let my children know I made their heart for me to put the images on and not the world to try and run your movie screen. The world can't run your video screen if you don't let it. But you have to make the choice and turn and say, Father, what do you want me to focus on? What do you want me to do? Because it requires turning and yielding to Him and opening the eyes of your heart, not your outer eyes. And in fact, most of the time I need to close my outer eyes in order to get the inner eyes to be clearer. Okay? But if you will let Him put the images on your heart that He desires, you're going to find great joy and great peace and rest, because I can tell you your daddy loves you. I can tell you He has nothing but good things for you. He wants you to focus on the beauty. So why did He put everything in nature? To show His beauty. And He wants you, there's a picture of a butterfly. There's a picture of a waterfall. His love is always flowing down. And here's a picture of a shepherd carrying a lamb tenderly in His bosom. When we're wounded, when we're broken, He's going to pick us up and carry us. He's not going to let us. He will leave the 99 and go look for that one lost sheep. So I'm giving you some images right now to recognize. You can look at the beauty of a flower and see your Father's love. You can look at nature and know that He created it just for you. And there's so many things you can learn about your heart just from nature. But tonight, I want to challenge you. I want to ask you to seriously think about... Okay. Seriously think about asking Father, what's the image that He wants you to focus on in your heart tonight? What image does He want to put center screen on your heart so that the other images of this world are sort of pushed aside, washed away, and you can meditate just on something that's beautiful, positive, and filled with life, because that's how He made you. He didn't make you to live in darkness. He made you for light. And His light is shining brightly in each one of your hearts tonight. I'd like to pray that you can allow Him to show you what He wants to show you this night. I want you to believe, to see with the eyes of your heart, more clearly than you've ever seen. So, Father, I just thank You for this evening. I thank You, Father. I went a little longer, but, Father, I thank You that You just take these words and You help every person to grab a hold of the importance of true meditation being a part of their heart. And so, Father, I thank You for just giving each one of these people before me and those that will listen to it later, Father, that they would each have the eyes of their heart opened, enlightened, with a bright floodlight of Your love and light on their hearts to see what You want them to see this night. In the name of Jesus, I thank You, Father, for the new beginnings You're going to give many this night as they walk in with their image, the images in their heart being from You and the others being washed away by the blood of the Lamb. In Jesus' name, amen.